teach us and show us the way of righteousness and holiness that please you. Father, we are asking you to guide our heart. And Father, we are praying for the employees of the U.S. Embassy in Libya where they're taken by the Islamic group this morning. Father, we are asking you to protect them, keep them safe. Somehow you willing, you speak to the President Obama that he may do what is right to save those peoples. You may empower those who will be dispatched to rescue them and protect them. And we also pray for the rest of our troops around the world and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. We also pray for the American pastor who is jailed in Iran. Father, you willing, you keep him safe and you bring him back to his family, safe and sound. We are asking you to fill our heart with your Holy Spirit and anointing to understand your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 28 of Isaiah, verse 7, please. Chapter 28, verse 7. But they also have erred through wine, through intoxicating drink, are out of the way. The priests and the prophets have erred through the intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine, and they are out of the way through the intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filth. Do you think the Bible describes things? No place is clean. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, and those just drawn from the breast. And for the precept must be upon precept, and the precept upon precept, and the line upon line, line upon line, here little and there little. If for with the stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Verse 13, but the word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snare and caught. Stop there, please. The Lord was appalled by their drunkenness. To the Jews, the wine was a gift from God. It was a part of the source of joy. The Mosaic law in the Old Testament and the New Testament does not forbid the drinking wine, nor demand abstinence, total abstinence. But it does warn against the drunkenness in Deuteronomy chapter 21, Proverbs chapter 20, to name a few. I want you to read that. In case you're thinking that it's okay for a Christian to get plastered with a drink, read that portion. And even the prophet Amos denounced the luxurious indulgence of the people in both Judah and Samaria in Amos chapter 6. Keep your finger in the book of Isaiah. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, please. So you may wonder, how should we live? Ephesians chapter 5. For that question, I have an answer for you from the Word of God. Chapter 5, verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is a dissipation. Not a good thing you find in drinking. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. You see, according to the report by the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, 2 weeks ago, they made a report in August 19, 2014, this year. Excessive alcohol use led to approximately 88,000 people's death and 2.5 million combined years of the potential life lost each year in the United States from 2006 to 2010. In 4 years, 88,000 people died because of alcohol. And shortening lives, those who died by the age of 30 years. In comparison with the 11,101 were killed in the gun-related homicide in 2011, I don't know what kinds of mindset, what kinds of conclusion they get. By looking at the numbers of the death by alcohol, I don't know why the liberals only go after gun violence when they have the 20,000 people getting killed by alcohol per year and more. Why don't they ban the alcohol as much as they want to ban the guns? Furthermore, excessive drinkings are responsible for one in 10 deaths among the working age of the age 20 through 64. And economic cost of excessive alcohol consumption in 2006 estimated $223.5 billion. And you're thinking, oh, you're making all this up. No. Go on the CDC website, excessive alcohol consumption. You type that in and you'll find this report. And get this. Over 50% of rape happen because of either because of the alcohol by the perpetrator or victim. Either victim got drunk or perpetrator got drunk and they violated women. Government official in Washington, D.C. once quipped that we have three parties in this city: Democratic Party, Republican Party, and Cocktail Party. And as a matter of fact, Washington, D.C. ranked high on the list of cities noted with alcohol consumption. No wonder why those politicians cannot do anything right, right? You may say, well, I'll never be a drunkard. I don't believe any of those alcoholics start as to be a wino on the ski road somewhere. Or drunk driver who just killed a child on the street. They all started with first sip and first drink, thinking that, oh, this won't hurt me. Of course not. And next, and next, and next. Not only were the people of Judah irresponsible with their lives, they were arrogant enough to mock the God's prophet and reject God's word for them by ridiculing Isaiah. Nations around the world, especially America, today often take a similar attitude toward God's servant and God's word. People are so intoxicated with their own intelligence pride that they laugh at the simple message of the gospel presented by the simple and humble servant of God. They'd rather believe their own far-fetched fantasies that jumbled with the numbers and formulas and even the wishful thinking than the truth that comes from the Word of God. I like an English journalist, George Orwell, said, "The further our society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." Ain't that truth? Go down to verse 16 of chapter 28, please. Now we find Jesus as the cornerstone. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily." As the people of Judah's only hope was in the tried and cornerstone, that is Jesus Christ, our hope should remain with him. He is our rock of all ages, and all the other ground is a sinking sand. Amen? If they had a faith in God, their God Jehovah, They would not be rushing here and there trying to make an alliance with the other kingdoms so they can be protected from the invasion of Assyria. By doing so, by making alliance with the pagan nations, they walked away from God. Remember what happened to King Solomon, the wisest guy? In my opinion, he's the fool. He made alliance. They learned this, the practice from their forefather Solomon. He was making alliance with neighboring kingdoms by marrying their princess. And those wives led him to worship their foreign idols. Eventually, at his old age, he walked away from God. You see, this scripture was quoted by the Apostle Peter, the one we just read, Isaiah 28:16, was quoted by Peter in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. The apostle applies this passage directly to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He is the foundation for our lives, and he only with a secure, stable foundation can anything lasting be built. Our life should be built on Jesus Christ, otherwise we have a problem. Anything added on the house not built on the foundation is a sure end up in the wreckage. I'm surprised that more people are not committing suicide or end up in a lunatic asylum when they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't have Jesus. They are not found grounded in the Word of God. Their foundation should be shaken every day. During that time, during the ancient Israel time, the builder must lay down the cornerstone first. Cornerstone first. Then he could put the rest of the stone together. So God laid Jesus, our cornerstone, as our cornerstone so that we could be aligned with him. We could be aligned with him. Then we will have a firm foundation in our lives. Without that foundation, it is no wonder unbeliever's life is a shamble. Speaking of a horrible foundation, the greatest example is this. You all know this place, right? You know the Tower of Pisa? This is a bell tower they built some time ago. It's an 8-story and 179-foot bell tower, and 1/120 inches every year moving to the direction, falling away. See, now it's 17 feet out of plumb. They are doing everything they can to put this thing stay in the on the ground. By the way, the word Pisa, I don't know if I pronounce, I'm thinking about pizza. Now I'm hungry. Why did I say that kind of thing? The meaning of Pisa means much land. That should have given some sort of clue to the original builder, right? Much land. And they should have done something for the foundation, but guess what? They didn't. Before they even finished complete the building, this thing started tilting already. By the way, do you know how deep the foundation is? 10 feet. It went up 179 feet above ground, but they only put the 10 feet foundation on much ground. Wow, smart people. Listen, if you're not grounding the Word of God daily, it's like you do not have a good foundation in your life. The Bible should not be something you just carry to the church on Sunday morning only. Rather, it should carry you in making decisions every day. Amen? As you have heard, it doesn't matter how many times the Bible goes through your life, in your life, how many times you go through the Bible in your life, but it matters how many times, how deep the Bible goes through you. Go down to verse 9 of chapter 29, please. Now we find the spiritual blindness. Pause and wonder. Blind yourself and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They staggered, but not with intoxicating drink. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep. Note that word, please. Has closed your eyes and named me the prophet. He has covered your heads and named me the seers. The whole vision has become to you like a word of the book that is sealed, which man delivered to one who is liberated, saying, read this, please. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. Then the book is delivered to one who is illiterate, saying, read this, please. And he said, I am not literate. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of man. Listen, if you are worshiping God with our heart, you are in this category. Did you hear me? We don't come here for do the half an hour worship service just singing songs. It's not something you do before the teaching starts. Don't ever, ever, ever think that teaching is the most important thing. No, you prepare while you're worshiping God. You're preparing your heart to hear from God. Are you with me on that? So if you don't put your heart in worship of God, you are not going to hear from God. It's that important. Don't think that it just gives me a time to get to church late. Wrong idea. Why were the people of Jerusalem so ignorant of what was going on? It is because their hearts were far from God. They went through the outward motion of worship and the religiously kept the annual feast, but it was not the true worship of God. Going to the temple was a popular thing to do. Just like going to church on Sunday morning is something to do. But most of the people did not take their worship seriously. Therefore, God allowed their spiritual blindness and stupor to be upon them and their people, and so that they could not understand their own law. Such blindness persists today. If you came to church because, as I mentioned, it's something to do for you to do on Sunday morning, or feel obligated that you've had to do this, or you are in jam, so, okay, God, I'll go to church. I'm doing you a favor. I'm going to church. And I'm sure God is saying, yeah, I'm sure God just mocked. Goody. Or maybe just simply you are dragged by your spouse. Husband, wife, we're going to go to church.
Okay.
You came with the wrong motive. And it shows because you have a spiritual blindness. In case you are wondering about the definition of spiritual blindness, here it is. I made it up, so. But it sounds okay. Sounds good. You look at it and see if I'm telling the truth. Spiritual blindness is coming from the individual's own choice. It is a conscious decision to refuse the truth of God and choose to accept strong delusion from Satan that he or she would believe the lies from him. The consequence of this spiritual blindness is to have pleasure in unrighteousness in strong delusion. And they believe the lies of Satan that lead to separation from the Lord. Make sense? You know why it makes sense? Because I took it out from the Bible. Many people today read or receive God's word like a illiterate man that reads the newspaper. He holds a newspaper. He can pick here and there a few words. He can enjoy even the pictures. From outward appearance, He looks like he's reading and he's enjoying something. But in reality, the true content really escaped him. I compiled spiritual blindness from chapter 29. Number one, spiritual blindness is caused by what? Pride. And it will bring us low. And it leads to spiritual drunkenness. It leads us to the spiritual sleep. And it leads to the spiritual illiteracy. Spiritual blindness causes hypocrisy. And spiritual blindness makes man believe God cannot know, believe that God cannot know what they think or they do. Really? Spiritual blindness makes man deny God as creator. Spiritual blindness is cured through humility. Remember what I said? Spiritual blindness is caused by the pride, but it can be cured through humility. Spiritual blindness can only be healed through the Lord's restoration. Verse 1 of chapter 30, please. Now we find the false confidence in anything but God. Verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord. Who takes counsel but not of me? And who devises a plan but not of my spirit? That they may add sin to sin, who walk down to Egypt, and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of a Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Note that word, please. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. Isaiah here prophesied against a caravan that goes heading down to Egypt from Jerusalem with the treasure, so they can buy the protection from Pharaoh against the invasion of Assyria. Did they ask God? Did they ask God to protect them? Didn't he protect them all this time? Of course he did. Whenever they were right with God, whenever they were seeking God, God protect them. Go back to the verse 3, what I just emphasized to you. Trust in the shadow of Egypt. See, from the perspective of God, the strength of Pharaoh, the strength of Egypt was nothing. God saw them, and Egypt was nothing more than a shadow. Just like that, the things or the people whom we think that can help us are nothing more than our imagination, or cannot do, cannot help us, or don't want to help us. Many of us somehow think that our God is the last resort with the sigh. I'm sure you heard that. Oh, there's nothing else to do except pray. Wow, what a concept. If you have that tendency, if you have a tendency to run to other people dropping hint, oh, I have this situation, and this. Wink, wink. Really? How about get on your knees and pray? Here's a Hebrew command for you. Knock it off. Go to God. It was bad enough that the Judah rebelled against God by trusting Egypt instead of trusting Jehovah. Depending on the money instead of on God's power. But then they even went as far as completely rejecting the word of God. Go down to verse 8, please, of chapter 30. And now, write it before them on the tablet or iPad, whichever you will choose, and note it on the scroll, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who said to the seers that do not see, and to the prophet, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Verse 11, get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Have you ever heard the phrase called truth hurts? Of course you have. People don't want to hear divine correction against their action and comments. They would stuff their spiritual ear with anything and everything so that they would not face the fact that including listening to lies from the pit of hell. The problem God confirmed in Judah didn't end in the day of Judah. It continues. As a matter of fact, Apostle Paul talks about it in 2 Timothy, his last epistle. Go there, please. Last epistle of Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Read this with me, okay? For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Is that a vivid picture or what? Joel Osteen, some of you may listen to him, may heard about him, or maybe you have a book by him. He tweets 2 to 3 times a day, and to communicate his version of truth and the faith of Christianity to his 2.6 million Twitter followers. Get this. Since July 8, 2003, he tweeted 806 times. Guess. Just guess. Guess how many times he used the word Jesus in his tweet. Guess. Uno. Once. All right, maybe he used the word Christ, since it's meaning of a Messiah. How many times? Dos. How can you communicate the gospel of who? Jesus? Without his name? Of course, we already know that he doesn't talk about sin in his sermon because he doesn't want to offend anybody. Joel Osteen is America's most influential pastor, whether you like it or not. There are 43,000 people going to his church. And one of the most well-known and most recognized pastors with the biggest platform he has. 2.6 million people following his Twitter. What a great opportunity to present the Word of God, the truth of God. This guy is not teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he is teaching Christless gospel. I don't want to be him when he meets Jesus someday. Listen, if you don't get the truth of God from this book, from this pulpit, please go somewhere where you can be taught from the Bible. And if you've been in the church where you are not taught from the Word of God, leave that church, go somewhere. If you're going to go to church on Sunday and then take slot out of your time 2 or 3 hours on Sunday morning, get the truth. Don't go there just attaboy like what the Joel Osteen does. And you may say, that's not nice of you to talk bad about the fellow brothers. I'm not so sure if he's a fellow brother in Christ. Remember what we just read in the book of Isaiah? They do the word, but they don't have a heart. And there's a portion in the New Testament. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power of God. Three applications. No one is better than the Lord. Let's go to Him for all of our needs in prayer. What? Last? First. Second application, God's truth doesn't hurt us. Rather, to correct us, to heal us. Third application, God's judgment stone for America is coming. Don't be in the receiving side. Be on God's side. Amen?